Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I get to spend some time today with Lancaster County Sheriff Terry Wagner, and I want to tell you how special it is today and how different it is today, because Terry is sitting about 6 feet from me right now in the studio. And it's, did we do that at all in 2020? If we did, it had to be early on.
Yeah, it had to be January or February of 2020 is the last time I've been here.
Yeah, so it's a good feeling.
It is.
To have somebody in the studio, to have some energy, the vibe of a live guest.
Zoom just isn't quite the same, is it?
No, it's for good. It's good for radio, but it just doesn't give the energy that this does. So thank you for coming in. We're going to get as much said as we possibly can here in the 15 minutes that we have for Lincoln Live. Handgun permits, Terry. I'm amazed at the number of handgun permits that go through the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, so just a little background. You know, the Nebraska legislature years ago, I believe it was 1991, established the handgun purchase permit process. So if anybody's going to go purchase a handgun, they have to have a permit issued by either the sheriff or the chief of police. And we issue those in Lancaster County, and that permit's good for 3 years. They go through a background check. It is a good process that satisfies the federal requirements, and so it even works with long guns, and it makes the process much more streamlined. So we've been issuing those now for 20, 30 years now, handgun purchase permits, and we track those on a monthly and yearly basis. It's kind of interesting that every time any discussion in Congress comes up about firearms restrictions, the firearms purchase permits just take a jump. It's kind of a political barometer that you can follow and see when certain things happen, when certain people got elected, it might prompt a spike in handgun permit applications. So, we're doing, last year we did over 6,300 handgun permits or firearms permit applications. This year we're on track to do about 3,500.
Never having filled one of those forms out, is there a designation for an application for a concealed carry?
No.
Handgun? It's an entirely
different procedure that the State Patrol handles. A lot of the same questions are on that form, but it's an entirely different process.
Do you get the handgun permit first and then go to conceal carry, or does it matter the order?
Doesn't matter the order, yeah.
Your intention is to conceal carry so you can apply for it first and then apply for
If you already own a handgun, you don't have to maintain the permit to keep your handgun. So the permits for our handgun purchase permits are good for 3 years. That just allows you to purchase, or it does allow you to purchase. Mm-hmm. And then if your permit expires and you've got your gun that you purchased legally with your handgun permit, you don't need to renew your permit just to possess it.
I see.
Okay. So
do you need to renew a concealed carry permit?
You do, yes.
That rolls over every so often?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's 5 years.
Okay. All right.
It's a little more extensive process. It requires fingerprint submission and some other kinds of things like that, but So,
an amazing high number of handgun permits, though, go through your office to the point where you've had to make some logistical adjustments.
We added an employee just to handle handgun purchase permits. We had to do a physical reconfiguration of our office just because of the volume of people that were coming in to get permits. And this was a number of years ago, but it holds true.
Have the requirements for a handgun permit changed in the 20-some-odd or 30?
It's
the same form, same requirements, same standards?
Correct. The only thing that changed is when the city of Lincoln implemented some city ordinances about number of DWI convictions, some of the misdemeanor crimes of assault where you can't possess a handgun. If you had, I think, one or two marijuana convictions, you can't possess a firearm. So
criminal background.
Exactly. Now, that's not the same thing for the city, but that's the only thing that really has changed.
All right. Lancaster County Sheriff Terry Wagner here. The catalytic converter ordinance is in effect in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Does that spread out to the county?
Well, sure. It helps us a lot because we don't have any salvage facilities outside of the city limits of Lincoln. So all of the catalytic converters that we have had stolen, we've tracked some of them to Council Bluffs, but other scrap dealers. So, you know, they're probably bringing them into Lincoln. This will assist us, or at least maybe slow down and make people think, I've got to register, I've got to get a permit to sell catalytic converters. And I was talking with Assistant Chief Brian Jackson about this, and I liken it to the Sudafed restrictions that were enacted years ago. You need to make it available for legal purchase and legal use, just like catalytic converters, but you try to stem the illegal use of those products. And so that's what the city ordinance has attempted to do, is to allow people to still possess a catalytic converter if it's in a legal manner, but to try to stem the theft of catalytic converters.
But if I was stopped and I had a catalytic converter in the back, I don't know what good excuse I would be able to offer to have a catalytic converter in the back of my car.
Well, let's say you had kind of a junk vehicle that you were, you know, kind of parting out before you towed it to a salvage yard. Cut that thing off because it's worth quite a bit of money. Yeah. And the good news is there are. So if you had a Ford at home and you had this catalytic converter, there are numbers on there that say, yeah, this is for a Toyota. This isn't for a Ford. And so, yeah, it's a process just to assist or deter people from stealing catalytic converters and to assist us in clearing those cases when it happens.
And people who get them legitimately have nothing to worry about anyway. I believe
Correct.
It's a $5 permit.
Yes.
To get it. Sheriff Terry Wagner here. Let's go back to October. This is the first chance I've had in to talk about the sheriff's office being accepted into the Active Bystander for Law Enforcement project. It's known as ABLE.
Yeah.
I heard you explain it. I couldn't do it any better, so explain what ABLE does.
Well, interestingly enough, Chief Deputy Ben Houchin had been at a training seminar, and they showcased the ABLE project. And it's been in the works for a number of years, way before any of the unrest that we had last year. And it is a process to encourage officers when they recognize something that's not quite right. And that can range from excessive force, or it can range to unsafe procedures. Even though that person making that arrest maybe didn't shake down the prisoner well, or didn't cuff them properly, it gives permission for the other officer to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to do this the proper way, not shortcut. Same thing with excessive force. If an officer would see what they think is excessive force, you know, it gives them that permission. It encourages them to say, whoa, let's take a breath. I'll take care of this. You step back and take a breath and, maybe de-escalate or calm down. So, you have to apply to be part of the ABLE project. You have to guarantee certain things like training for your staff and command staff. And my training is next week. We have two employees who are trained as trainers within our office, and then they will train the rest of our office in that procedure. So it's just another tool to help people do their jobs more professionally.
I don't want this to be lost on people, because so much has been said about the law enforcement community reviewing its policies and procedures as it interacts with the public. Mm-hmm. That relationship.
Yes.
But this is in office relationship.
Right. This is internally.
Deputy watching deputy, officers watching officers. It's in-house.
Yep.
Self-monitoring.
You know, I think if you look back at the George Floyd case, you had a couple of young officers there with a very seasoned officer, and I think they didn't feel they had that permission or that authority to say, let's hang on here. What are we doing? You know, he's already incapacitated. I think they could have done
that's a tough spot for a rookie to be in.
It's
somebody young.
It is.
And law enforcement has this pecking order. So
and the university that helped develop the ABLE project, and I think this is George. Is it George Washington University or George Mason University? They have studied the psychology behind younger officers or officers of a junior rank kind of calling out their peers, whether they be more in seniority or more higher in rank. And so developed that process on how that can happen.
Georgetown University Law Center.
Georgetown.
Came up with this. So I want you to understand this is going on in LSO, Lancaster County Sheriff's Office. They're being given permission to watch each other and in a constructive manner make the department, make the office a better a better place. All right, that's the ABLE project. A fun one that I want to touch on, and I say fun only because the technology is just so mind-blowing, and that's the drone use. We've talked about it before, but it's been an application a number of times here recently. An individual makes his way into a house, gets up into the attic, and you deploy a drone. Talk about how that helped.
Well, we've used this. You know, we have two or three drones now. We have a larger one. If we're going to look in a field for either a missing person or a wanted person in a field or an outdoor area, it's a larger drone with longer flying time. We purchased a smaller drone that's more protected, so if you hit a wall, it doesn't crash. And so we've been able to deploy these smaller drones inside of a structure, inside of a house, and look for people that are wanted. So in the case you're referencing, this man was up in the attic of a house. We had good information that he was in the house, and then once we searched the house and couldn't find him, the only place left was the attic. And so we sent the drone up in the attic, and it's got pretty good optics on it and a light, and we could see this man was up there, and then we could negotiate, and he eventually came down without incident. You know, we've used it a couple times. Another situation, same scenario, a man's laying next to a bed with a gun. And I think if the deputies had gone in there to arrest him, it would have been a shootout. And this way, we could see on the drone he had a gun. We're able to negotiate, let him know we knew he had a gun, and kind of take that funder away from him, and he gave up.
Just enough time to give you some props and congratulate you on an induction into the Sheriff's Hall of Fame. Nicely done.
Oh, I was really honored. I tell you, I didn't expect it, I was presented with that induction at the Nebraska Sheriff's Association Conference in October. It really was an honor to be recognized for my lifetime of work. The bad part is the other inductees, Mario Herrera was one of them that was inducted. You know, I've spent my whole life in law enforcement. He gave his life for law enforcement, and there's a huge difference there. And so they're much more deserving than I, but I'm really honored.
And you and I last saw each other in person at the memorial event on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And that was an emotional event.
Yeah. And boy, thank you for doing that. That was really, I appreciated you emceeing that event. It was really well done. I thank, you know, the community for supporting that and helping fund it. And it really is a nice addition to honor those nine law enforcement officers who have died in the line of duty here in Lincoln, Lancaster County.
It's on the 10th Street side. It's on the east side of the Hall of Justice. It's backlit at night. You can see it. You've got benches there.
It's very nice.
Very classy. Very classy. So
simple but elegant.
Yeah. Well, let's do this again.
This will be great.
Let's hope that the dial allows us to do this again, to talk in person. Lancaster County Sheriff Terry Wagner here with me on Lincoln Live.